welcome back to Grim Pickens. My name is Pete Phillips, and I will be picking your reading today. Of course, we're going in order, so it's not really much of a choice on my part. But one of the choices I do have is to go back to our old friend Margaret Hunt, a.k.a. Maggie Hunt. And we're going to hear her translation of the story, The Three Snake Leaves. There was once upon a time a poor man who could no longer support his only son. Then said the son, "Dear father, things go so badly with us that I am a burden to you. I would rather go away and see how I can earn my bread." So the father gave him his blessing, and with great sorrow took leave of him. At this time, the king of a mighty empire was at war, and the youth took service with him, and with him went out to fight. And when he came before the enemy, there was battle and great danger, and it rained shot until his comrades fell on all sides. And when the leader also was killed, those left were about to take flight. But the youth stepped forth, spoke boldly to them, and cried, "We will not let our fatherland be ruined!" And the others followed him, and he pressed on and conquered the enemy. When the king heard that he owed the victory to him alone, he raised him above all others, gave him great treasures, and made him the first in the kingdom. The king had a daughter who was very beautiful, but she was also very strange. She had made a vow to take no one as her lord and husband who did not promise to let himself be buried alive with her if she died first. "If he loves me with all his heart," said she, "of what use will life be to him afterwards?" On her side, she would do the same, and if he died first, would go down to the grave with him. This strange oath had, up to this time, frightened away all wooers, but the youth became so charmed with her beauty that he cared for nothing, but asked her father for her.
"But dost thou know what thou must promise?" said the king.
"I must be buried with her," he replied, "if I outlive her, but my love is so great that I do not mind the danger." Then the king consented, and the wedding was solemnized with great splendor. They lived now for a while happy and contented with each other, and then it befell that the young queen was attacked by a severe illness, and no physician could save her. And as she lay there dead, the young king remembered what he had been obliged to promise, and was horrified at having to lie down alive in the grave. But there was no escape. The king had placed sentries at all gates, and it was not possible to avoid his fate. When the day came, when the corpse was to be buried, he was taken down into the royal vault with it, and then the door was shut and bolted. Okay, so it's not like he's getting thrown in the dirt. There's a sort of underground mausoleum. Near the coffin stood a table on which were four candles, four loaves of bread, and four bottles of wine. And when this provision came to an end, he would have to die of hunger. And now he sat there, full of pain and grief, ate every day only a little piece of bread, drank only a mouthful of wine, and nevertheless saw death daily drawing nearer. Whilst he thus gazed before him, he saw a snake creep out of a corner of the vault and approach the dead body. And as he thought it came to gnaw at it, he drew his sword and said, "As long as I live, thou shalt not touch her," and hewed the snake in three pieces. After a time, a second snake crept out of the hole, and when it saw the other snake lying dead and cut in pieces, it went back, but soon came again with three green leaves in its mouth. Then it took the three pieces of the snake, laid them together as they ought to go, and placed one of the leaves on each wound. Immediately the severed parts joined themselves together, the snake moved and became alive again, and both of them hastened away together. The leaves were left lying on the ground, and a desire came into the mind of the unhappy man who had been watching all this, to know if the wondrous power of the leaves, which had brought the snake to life again, could not likewise be of service to a human being. So he picked up the leaves and laid one of them on the mouth of his dead wife, and the two others on her eyes. And hardly had he done this than the blood stirred in her veins, rose into her pale face, and colored it again. And then she drew breath, opened her eyes, and said, "Ah, God, where am I?" "Thou art with me, dear wife," he answered, and told her how everything had happened and how he had brought her back again to life. Then he gave her some wine and bread, and when she had regained her strength, he raised her up, and they went to the door and knocked and called so loudly that the sentries heard it and told the king. The king came down himself and opened the door, and there he found both, strong and well, and rejoiced with them that now all sorrow was over. The young king, however, I guess he's like a king in line. He's more of a prince. Anyway, the young king took the three snake leaves with him, gave them to a servant, and said, "Keep them for me carefully, and carry them constantly about thee. Who knows in what trouble they may be of service to us?" A change had, however, taken place with his wife. After she had been restored to life, it seemed as if all of her love for her husband had gone out of her heart. After some time, when he wanted to make a voyage over the sea to visit his old father, and they had gone on board a ship, she forgot the great love and fidelity which he had shown her, and which had been the means of rescuing her from death, and conceived a wicked inclination for the skipper. And once the young king lay there asleep, she called in the skipper, and seized the sleeper by the head. And the skipper took him by the feet, and thus they threw him down into the sea. When the shameful deed was done, she said, "Now let us return home and say that he died on the way. I will extol and praise thee so to my father, that he will marry me to thee, and make thee the heir to his crown." But the faithful servant, who had seen all that they did, unseen by them, unfastened a little boat from the ship and got into it, sailed after his master, and let the traders go on their way. He fished up the dead body, and, by the help of the three snake leaves which he carried about with him, and laid on the eyes and mouth, he fortunately brought the young king back to life. They rowed with all their strength day and night, and their little boat flew so swiftly that they reached the old king before the others did. He was astonished when he saw them come alone, and asked what had happened to them. When he learnt of the wickedness of his daughter, he said, "I cannot believe that she has behaved so ill, but the truth will soon come to light," and bade both to go into a secret chamber and keep themselves hidden from everyone. Soon afterwards the great ship came sailing in, and the godless woman appeared before her father with a troubled countenance. He said, "Why dost thou come back alone? Where is thy husband?" "Ah, dear father," she replied, "I come home again in great grief. During the voyage my husband became suddenly ill and died, and if the good skipper had not given me his help, it would have gone ill with me. He was present at the death and can tell you all." The king said, "I will make the dead alive again," and opened the chamber, and bade the two come out. When the woman saw her husband, she was thunderstruck, and fell on her knees, and begged for mercy. The king said, "There is no mercy. He was ready to die with thee, and restored thee to life again. But thou hast murdered him in his sleep, and shalt receive the reward that thou deservest." Then she was placed with her accomplice in a ship which had been pierced with holes and sent out to sea, where they soon sank amid the waves. One of the things I always find so interesting about these stories is that they start in one place and end someplace so completely different. The fact that this occurs in so many different stories is something that I love, because each time I start one, I have no idea where it's going. I have to say that my favorite character here is definitely the daughter, because she's introduced as very beautiful, but also very strange, and that she has this ultimatum in her head that her lover must die when she does, or vice versa. Even back then, she was a boss, and she knew what she wanted. And who's to say? Maybe being brought back to life made her a different person with different values, and that's why her actions followed, fueled by lust and murder. I just want to repeat, She had made a vow to take no one as her lord and husband who did not promise to let himself be buried alive with her if she died first. This definitely made me think that buried alive meant under dirt. So, lucky for the prince, or young man, or young king, whatever you want to call him, lucky for him, there was a crypt underneath the kingdom, so that all the rest of this stuff could take place. And how about this crafty snake, huh? I do have one question, which you may have thought of yourself. In the middle of the story, when he sees the snake, he drew his sword and hewed the snake in three pieces. When the second snake arrives, it brings three leaves. But there's only two cuts in the snake. So it's kind of interesting that there's this third leaf floating around at all. But in the end, I suppose the lesson we can take from this is maybe not all snakes are bad. Which then takes me to don't judge a book by its cover. But I don't know that that's necessarily the case. And if she was brought back to life, more sinful, then maybe the snakes weren't so good. Maybe when the young king was brought back to life, he was brought back also fueled by some sort of vengeance, and that's how he and his compatriot could row a sailboat really fast. But despite that, I guess the lesson for the daughter would be, you reap what you sow, but what's the lesson for us? Because I can't imagine many of us reading this story are like, oh yeah, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the daughter in the story. We'd probably like to be seen as the heroic and resourceful young king. But for him, it doesn't seem like there really is much of a lesson, because he doesn't order the death of his wife. Maybe it's that good things that happen, like bringing your wife back from the dead, aren't always blessings. That's the best I can do. Grim Pickens is hosted and produced by me, Pete Phillips. We have some musical flourishes by Gregor Quendel via Pixabay, and for now, a theme song made by AI. Grim Pickens is part of the Y'all Heard podcast family. You can rate and subscribe in your podcast player of choice to get more bite-sized stories by the Brothers Grimm.